Hello. So I thought I'd tell you a bit about myself first. I've been in the arts for 12 years as a project manager, as a producer, as a business advisor in international theatre for 2 years on a regeneration project. And for the last 5 years in a purely fundraising role. Over those 12 years, fundraising has always been the principal thing I've had to do. And beyond fundraising, just being entrepreneurial and earning money as well. To try and make this sort of relatively short session relevant, I thought I'd just talk about a few economic models and see what kind of conversation they might provoke and some of the trends that are happening in the UK today. So I chose three models that I'm very familiar with. One, BAC, where I've been for the last few years. Another, Chicken Shed, where 10 years ago, I did a 3-year stretch as a corporate and events fundraiser, which then became statutory and trusts. And also a small theatre company that I'm a trustee of. Can I just ask who here has is fundraising something that you have to do as part of your role? I thought it would be something like that. At BAC, I've been trying to instill the notion amongst the staff that everybody needs to be a fundraiser for the organisation to be effective. And actually that was an inspiration that came from my mentor, Amanda Saunders, who is the Director of Development at the Royal Opera House. She has an incredible office with a team of 25 fundraisers and the largest target in the UK. Quite an inspirational person, and about 4 years ago she had it written into the job description of every single person that works at the Royal Opera House that they had to be a fundraiser. And I took that on board and have been putting that out at BAC. I've done this sort of endless 8-page long paper, which I don't expect you to read, but there are a few images in it which I might call upon as I sort of talk through the journey and those models. BAC has been on a big journey of growth over the last 5 years. When I started there, fundraising was around 100,000 a year, and then we built it over those last 5 years to 300, and then 700, 800, and last year it was 1.4 million. But that is as a part of the wider income mix, which is now roughly in 3/3. I'll pull up my first one of these images. If you see this one here, the middle kind of pictogram there shows you the three different sort of chunks of colour. That's the kind of economic model that the Arts Council of England likes to support these days. They like to see organisations that are more sustainable and more self-reliant. Some years ago you saw organisations that were far more reliant on statutory support, which actually, if you look at the top kind of pictogram, you can see the large red area was funding from the Arts Council being a much bigger proportion of the income. That can make an organisation a little vulnerable if the majority of their income is all coming from a single source. Do the countries that you guys come from, do they all provide funding for the arts and for creative investment? How many people don't? Their countries don't provide investment. It's interesting. And in the UK, obviously, we're at a turning point around investment for the arts. The Arts Council has just had a significant cut of funding, like every other kind of sector in the UK. But there is an upside to the current environment, which is the National Lottery. Since the recession started, people have been buying lottery tickets in their droves. And those tickets then go to fund good causes. And they've recently sort of redrawn the way that those funds are used, which means that there's more lottery cash available for the arts. So the model that we have at BAC is basically we have trading income, that 1/3 which is sort of blue, and that is we have a Grade 2 listed building. It sits on an acre site. It has around 75 different rooms and spaces, and we hire them out for a broad range of activities. One of our ambitions is to make those activities increasingly more relevant to our mission, which is to invent the future of theatre. Now, some of the best earners are exams and weddings and things that aren't really on the mission, to be honest. But some of the most fun things are the ones that often cost us money. One of my objectives in the next sort of 2 to 3 years is within the trading business, to try and make our trading business more allied with the mission, which might be that we use artists to animate the weddings that we host, as an idea. There are more ideas. So the other part of our... We also have box office within that trading income. Box office at BAC is a very small part of our income, and that's because as an organisation we're known largely for our role in supporting artists at the earlier stages of their careers. And we do support experimental work, and we're not so focused on the sort of commercial aspects of that. We do occasionally have a great hit. In 2007-8 we had a show called The Mask of the Red Death, which was across 70 different rooms in the venue. It was a promenade production and it ran for 7 months. And 46,000 people came to see that show, and it took about 5 years combined box office. And it really put the organisation on the map. It would probably still be running today. We had to pull it because the nature of our mission and our role as an organisation is not just to run a show forever. That was with Punch Drunk. I don't know if any of you have heard of the company Punch Drunk, very famous over here. So we have the trading income, we have the statutory income from the Arts Council. All of the Arts Council funded clients are getting a 10% cut next year in this country. And we're also all in the process now of applying for funding for the 2012 to 2015 period. Every 3 years in this country they like to shake up the arts sector a bit, shake up their funding portfolio. This is the first time that people, however, have been able to apply for rolling funding, for what was called RFO funding, is going to be called NPO funding. Arts Council offices, I'm sure, are a bit nervous at the moment because they've got no additional people. In fact, they've lost people recently, and they're anticipating 2,500 new applications for rolling support with probably about 20% less income in the next period. It does make for interesting times when you come to those sort of cyclic periods where the nature of funding is going to change. And the last one in 2008, 200 organisations lost their funding, and I think about 120 gained new funding. Seems a bit crazy when that happens sometimes, but then it does keep everybody on their toes. So that's our model at BAC. The sort of factors that we're kind of concerned by are the losses in that funding from the Arts Council. Local authorities have all had budget cuts, and we get 100,000 from my local authority. We don't know how that's going to stand. Generally, we think project grants from statutory sources are going to be reducing, and we think it's going to be more competitive generally trying to fundraise. Also, there's no interest held on reserves anymore. We don't have many reserves anyway. But in previous years, that's been a bit of a small income stream. But we think that actually being more entrepreneurial is what we have to do. We have to sort of embrace the kind of opportunities that we think we have in our venue and in the capital project that we've been doing. So that's our sort of ambition. Now I'm going to talk about a really small theatre company I'm a trustee of. It's a completely different scale. BAC's turnover is about 3.5 million, and Shams is about 50,000. This is the little green and blue pictogram. Now what that represents is that great big green splodge is two grants, one from the Wellcome Trust and one from the Arts Council. Shams is a project funded organisation. It does generate a bit of its income from sort of box office and from fees for taking shows to venues and from running workshops. And the rest of it is from grants for making productions and touring productions. The mission for Shams is to create playful, moving and imaginative performance from visually stunning theatre to site-specific, experimental and immersive experiences for audiences. Shams has a quite a fun model. It doesn't have any staff. It has employees, people that kind of work on a freelance basis. And then we recently had to review the notion of, shall we apply? Shall we try and become a fixed funder in the next round? Do we want to put that application in and get 3 years funding? If we were to be successful in getting 3 years funding, we would no longer be able to apply for project grants from the Arts Council. And quite bravely, I think, we came up with the solution that actually the organisation wants the flexibility to be able to not do anything for a few months. The artistic director likes being able to work for Shams for several months of the year to achieve his ambitions there, and then to go and work on other people's projects and to have that degree of flexibility in his life. We're also very aware of the notion admin beget admin. We kind of think that if we started to have this rolling funding and rolling reporting cycle, all the money would suddenly be eaten up in just managing that ongoing process, and there'd be nothing left to make any work. Whereas at the moment, if we get a grant of 20 or 30,000, we can achieve an awful lot with that money. So the current external factors, we think, are looking quite good for Shams. There's going to be an extra £48 million in lottery funding for the Arts Council next year, and an extra £48 million for the Heritage Lottery Fund as well. So the scheme which supports project grants is likely to see an uplift, whereas the scheme which sees the sort of rolling funding is going to see a downward trend. Also, sadly, the government is cutting funding for education in the arts, probably today, I think. We'll get home and read that in the news, which is very sad, but it is going to create an opportunity where people that provide creative education will probably find it easier to promote and sell those opportunities. So the workshops will probably see a sort of more sustainable future in those next few years. So the final model is an organisation that I worked for some years ago, Chicken Shed. This is Chicken Shed. They're sort of half green, half blue. And that means that they haven't got any funding from the Arts Council, which puts them in a kind of unique place, where the rest of the arts sector in the UK kind of has to do the heebie-jeebies every 3 years, where we kind of, will we get funding, won't we get funding, is it going to be reduced, is it going to be increased? It doesn't affect Chicken Shed. They fell out with the Arts Council about 15 or 20 years ago. They were the largest theatre company in the country at the time, after the Royal Shakespeare Company, and they produced inclusive theatre, which meant that there were people with disabilities in the casts of their production, which was something at the time, it was difficult for lots of people to understand. We had a very strong disability arts movement, and obviously a very strong other arts sector. There wasn't much in between. And at that point, there was a sort of a difference forming between the company, and it built its own sustainable model by running BTEC courses, a master's program, workshops for over 2,000 children every month, a Christmas show with a cast of 600 kids over 4 rotors that would run for 6 weeks. That sold a lot of tickets, that show. And over the years, they just kept adding bits to their model that built this very sustainable company that has no reliance it has a lot of reliance on grant support, but it isn't reliant on the Arts Council and the fickle nature of the way it gives. But they do have their own issues. The president of the charity, the Lady Ray, who's the most wonderful philanthropist, is worth about £500,000 a year to the charity. She does an annual gala event that raises about £350,000. She has a chum that gives $100,000 a year, and her own trust fund tends to give between $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. That combined is quite a big hit. It's kind of like their own arts council pot. But she, I think she's like 75 now, and it's wonderful. She looks about 32. if you don't look up to the years. But sorry, it's crude. No, but she's an incredible woman, and but she can't go on forever, and I don't know how you can sort of plan for the loss of one of the very few great philanthropists in the country. So other than that, they all have the kind of the other issues that some of us have around, you know, trust fundraising. It's going to be a bit trickier next year, as there's going to be less statutory money around. There'll be more applications floating in. That's what we think. It was funny, at the start of the recession, everyone thought that fundraising would become more competitive in the UK. And the reality was, applications dropped off, people stopped applying for money. I think everybody just assumed that everybody, it was going to be so competitive you shouldn't bother. It was really odd. So I think it's just interesting looking at those three models and how different they are. And I think one of the important things about BAC and its subsidy is that that's what enables it to do most of the fun stuff. But then something we've been looking at as an organisation in the last few months is how big we've got in staff. Because over these years where we've grown a lot, our staff body did keep growing. And we had a meeting about 6 or 7 months ago. We were talking about budgets, and almost every manager said, I need more staff. And we sort of doubled in size over a couple of years, and we just realised it was no longer sustainable just to keep growing. And the more people we create, the more work they create. And it wasn't necessarily benefiting our artists. And so we've been trying to look at how we, all our audiences actually, how we have a sort of more fleet of foot model, so that as we move forward, we can put as much of our resource as possible into artists and into work and into the audiences and what we do, and to try and avoid creating structures internally that just create their own structures.